Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Master Karen, Master of Inspiration, here with you today. Wow, things are happening so quick. So many exciting things are coming our way. And I don't know if you heard the show last week talking about change the way you think, change the way you speak to cause good things to come into your life and to counterattack bad things that come into your life. What you say is so powerful. And I'm going to continue that mindset into my show today, because I think sometimes to say the correct thing, we need to know what that is. In other words, have the knowledge of what is truth and what is not truth. And unless you do some searching, at times the truth is not revealed to you, especially during formative educational years. So anyway, we hope to have good things come out of the show, and I have my special guest today. This is a grandmaster in martial arts. And that's right, that means he's not young, guys. Sorry, brother. This is officially Grandmaster Dennis Warren out of Warren, Ohio. Sir, I'm just honored to have you with me here today. Thank you so much. How has your day been?
It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful, my sister, Karen. I agree with what you just stated. That words have power, and I'd like to go into that with you a little bit also.
Very good. And I notice you have a pretty good radio voice. I'm loving that, because it makes a big difference when people have that nice, heavy radio voice. That's good stuff right there. Okay, Dennis, you know, you and I, we get into some heavy conversations. And sometimes people may not believe this, but we don't agree with each other. You and I, we're brother and sister. And that's true. However,
it's interpretation, but the majority of the time we do agree, and at the end of the day, all of our words and all of our main thoughts are in agreement, because there is no disagreement in Christ.
Well, and that's right. And so there you go. You mentioned Christ. I know that you're a Christian. And I know people definitely, if they didn't know, they know that I also come of the Christian faith as well. And we do have an understanding as Christian people that we don't let the sun go down on us unless we have fixed things with other people who are believers in Christ. And even when we have agreed to disagree, we've always let the sun go down with saying, hey, listen, you're still my brother, I'm still your sister, and we still agree with a lot of things. And I think that's the way it needs to be. There's no reason for anybody to feel like they have to be shut down or are being shut down just because they don't agree with someone's point in particular. So that being said, I guess you can tell this is going to be quite the doozy of a show here. Brother Dennis, I actually took more than one DNA test several years ago, over the course of the last several years, I should say. I've actually taken 5 DNA tests, and for the most part, they're all in agreement. But after taking those DNA tests, I would like to officially announce that I am my own League of Nations. And I know that you are too. You know, you have African American, Native American, and European. I also have the Asian, the European, the Native American, and even the Sub-Saharan African American. So we both, between us, are officially red, yellow, black, and white. So
I think we represent the United Nations more than most of them
right.
do.
Yes, that's true. So understanding that, it puts you in a very interesting place. I find myself almost being an ambassador of peace between groups of people when it comes to Native American issues, African American issues, and representing the majority of European descendants, because I have it all and I can understand where everybody is coming from. But I always make the point, all we are, brother, is a living, breathing sample of what our experiences in life have been. So what your experiences are is what your truth is. Now, your truth may not be what somebody else's truth is, but that doesn't make their truth false. It just makes their truth,
exactly.
And your truth, your truth. That's understandable. What we all have to work on is being willing to sit calmly and be patient to let the other person be heard and to find some sort of little crack somewhere that maybe there's truth in everybody's experience that we can accept. Because until we can learn to give and take with other people's experiences, we're never going to have a resolution of peace. I know you agree with me on that.
I totally agree. I totally
yeah.
agree.
And, you know, everybody in their own experience will tend to clan together, and those clans will tend to be hardened in their heart and in their ears to any other experience of other people. And that's where we're all getting into trouble. This is my feeling, because I think there's truth in everything represented. I think everybody's experience has truth to it. And so moving forward with that, I would really like to talk about something you and I and also your chief in particular have been trying to do over the last several months. And from a good place in our heart, we're trying to bring martial arts into Native American territory. Specifically Cherokee, we go by Cherokee Masters of Martial Arts, but it's not just the Cherokee. I'm hoping to go to the Chemawa area in Oregon in the not-too-distant future. I'm working on that right now and hoping to be able to talk to these young people and make a difference. So, you know, when you try to understand why somebody would be, you know, so uptight against what's going on in society today, brother, there's always a root. There's always a root system to everything. And
exactly.
You know what? Pain is not – you. I know you agree with me, and because we've discussed this many times.
Yes.
I'm glad we're finally getting to record it. Okay, so, you know, nobody, red, yellow, black, or white, is immune from bad things happening, from even evil things happening. People have experiences in their childhood and through their life that have been just horrible. It doesn't matter what color or what race or what creed or gender you are even. Bad things happen to everybody. And, you know, when you have an experience that weighs heavy on you, you tend to carry that scar for the rest of your life. It becomes part of your life experience. It becomes part of your truth. So when you talk about, brother, when we talk about Native American people, let's just go back quickly to the beginning. Because one of the problems that I see is the fact that the truth is not being told in history when you teach children. Now, I grew up in the public school system in a very white culture in Southwest Virginia. And little did I know, brother, that about an hour down the road from my house is one of the oldest Native American sites and nations, the Monacan people of Amherst County, Virginia. I mean, I never knew anything about these people. They lived in that area along with some other tribes that are now extinct where I grew up, and nobody ever talked about it. Through all of my history classes and my formal education, all I got was like everybody else got. Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492. He was a great guy representing, you know, of the Catholic faith. The Catholic Christian faith went over to try to convert people he could convert and bring back the treasury, the goods to make the treasury of Spain even bigger than it was. There was no problems. It worked out. He opened up the gate, and soon everybody was coming over here, and everything was great. And, you know, the next story you get is what's coming up in right down the road here is Thanksgiving. So, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians, they finally decided, you know, that they were going to get along. They had dinner together, and then everything was fine after that, and then done. Never another word about Native American history. So my point is, until we can sit in our truth, we're not going to be able to heal. And God bless America, but it has a real problem with acknowledging history the way it was. And maybe she could just be a little apologetic for it in some way. And I'm not just talking about Native Americans. I'm talking about African American history as well. And also, there's some European European groups
Irish,
out there.
Irish, for example. A lot of people
there
are aware that the Irish slaves also. Yes.
Exactly. So the Native Americans, African Americans aren't the only ones that were enslaved. and mistreated, but there were many groups. Ultimately, being accountable and being responsible and willing to say, look, we were wrong, is a big door opener in healing. So let me go back, first of all, to the Native Americans, because, you know, I am Cherokee. I think most people know that. My DNA tests, by the way, some of those tests out there will not show you're Native American, but others will, and that's what happened with me as well. Some of them came back heavy Native American, and some of them didn't show any, and the reason is because there's some DNA groups out there that don't have enough samples to be able to pull that off, and so you're wasting your money on some of those, but there are some good ones out there. So anyway, brother, listen to this. This comes from the weekly magazine, I believe, called El Seminario, and this was an article written by Roberta Nago. She is actually a Cherokee Nation, looks like a citizen, a Cherokee Nation citizen.
So,
this is what she says. She says, she's basically saying, to correctly understand Native American history, you need to go to understand what the doctrine of discovery was, or the discovery doctrine. You can Google it if you want. So basically, since the time of Christopher Columbus, there you go, since the time of Christopher Columbus, it states that Europeans have the right to colonize any and all lands of the entire world, the planet Earth. And this was first issued down by the Catholic Church, okay? Then it became codified into U.S. law by the Supreme Court in the 1800s. You would say, okay, well, surely the doctrine of discovery has been disbanded. Actually, brother, it has not. As recently as 2005, there's a justice by the name of Ginsburg out of Sherrill, and the discovery in the city of Sherrill versus the Oneida Nation of Indians, which is a well-known tribe, states that the Oneida Indian Nation could not exert sovereignty over land within their 1794 treaty territory the tribe had bought back in the first footnote of their decision. Ginsburg cites the doctrine of discovery. Okay, that's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
And it states that the land occupied by Indians when the colonists arrived became vested in the sovereign, first the discovering European nation, and later the original states and the United States. So basically, even in this day and age, brother, the doctrine of discovery states that Native Americans are basically just tenants in this land that was stolen from them. They're just tenants. They have no rights. They can't take back any land. And this is something that we don't talk about in our history books. This is one of those truths that need to be dispelled out there when you're talking about in the beginning in the 1400s and what happened with the indigenous people. So
exactly. The indigenous people, I'm going to put it that way, because it's not just the Cherokee. There's many other indigenous people, and what happened to the Aztecs, the Mayans. I mean, we could go on and on.
Okay. And you're right, and I'm sorry I'm not letting you talk a lot, but I can't shut up right now, so let me
I had to interject that.
Let me just keep rolling here for a minute, then I'm going to give you the floor.
You're on the roll.
And I do want to just stop real quickly and say I'm not bitter about this. Dennis is not bitter about this. We talk about that too. Listen, we can't change the history of our ancestors. Nobody can change that history. But what we can do, brother, is dispel the truth so that our children won't repeat the same mistakes that our ancestors made. But if we don't tell them what happened, they're not going to know how to even do that. Okay, so for instance, with Christopher Columbus in 1492, you can't discover something that's already discovered, because when he got here, what he discovered was 112 million indigenous people with cities, with their own government, their own society intact all over the continent, and that had been here 10,000 years before he got here. That's what was going on. And it's more likely that the indigenous people discovered him lost at sea, if you want to tell the truth.
Yeah,
but,
more likely. And I'm more apt to agree with that conclusion.
Right. And I'm not here to take away, you know, I know people get upset about, because they love Christopher Columbus. I mean, I've never met him. I don't know. Maybe he was a great guy. I know he worked on behalf of the Catholic Church cause. But you know what? Truth is truth.
Exactly.
And you cannot get credit for discovering something that had already been occupied for 10,000 years by 112 million people. So I just would like for them to put that into our history books as the truth. And then the many atrocities, the breaking of treaties, the lying, the stealing, the cheating, the murders, and the massacres of the indigenous people of Native America is just something you'll never hear of. I mean, it's very rare that you'll hear of. I didn't hear of it, and I have the heritage. I had to really go on a journey and research a lot of this. My point, brother, in bringing this up just with the Native American people is that now maybe you have an understanding of where they're coming from. And when you get this knowledge passed down to Native American generation after generation, nobody took accountability. Nobody's apologized. All of a sudden, you've got trust issues. Even your children's children's children will have trust issues. Don't trust the American government. Don't trust white people. Don't trust this, that, and everything else, because look what they did to us. And now you're operating from a place of pain because there's been no healing to even begin to culminate with this. So specifically in the Native American community, this is what we're talking about. And even, you know, an African-American community as well. It was wrong, okay? I don't care how you feel, what you think. You don't bring foreigners over and hold them to bondage for 200 years and expect that everything's going to be okay when it's over. I mean, there's no, you know, there's no real sense of apology from the country as a whole. And I'm not blaming anybody. This, again, is the work of ancestors. But we need to let people know what happened and how our ancestors handled things so that this won't be repeated in the following generations. So when you see the lashing out in today's society of ethnic groups, you're seeing sickness that was swept under a carpet and never dealt with correctly. Because, brother, secrets will make you sick. And that's what's going on with our society. Our society is sick because nobody is properly dealing with this and having the correct accountability with things that have happened. I mean, you go, and here's what I hear a lot. Well, you know, that was a long time ago. You got to get over it. Okay, well, you have to understand something if you feel that way. Just because time has gone by and nobody's been accountable doesn't mean it's something you can get over it when you know you descend from a group of people that was mistreated. It's very hard to get over when you don't have an apology. Just like I have people very close to me that have mistreated me that have never apologized. I know they're never going to apologize, brother, but I have had to find a way to move on and have a productive life in spite of that. That's what we're dealing with now. How can you have a productive life and move on in spite of the fact that you're never going to get an apology for the blood in your veins that represents the ancestors that were mistreated? All right, I'm done preaching with that right now.
Oh, no, that was very, very beautiful. And I also wanted to add to that, a lot of people are unaware that there are a lot of African Americans and African Americans with Native American blood.
And yes.
They need to be tested. But even during the Trail of Tears, a lot of Africans, rather than choosing to remain, and this is after the Civil War, choosing to remain under the punishment of the slave masters, they chose to leave with the Native Americans who were pushed out of their own homes and taken to Oklahoma or another part of the country called the Trail of Tears.
Mm-hmm.
And these people did not leave on their own. There were people living in houses. Now imagine somebody coming to your house right now and tell you, you got 5 minutes to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And then they've got the military with tanks, and they're marching you down the street. And you're like, where am I going? What happened?
Exactly.
You could have been the judge. There were very wealthy Indians. There were very wealthy African Americans at that time. At that particular time, some were even freed, and we can go into that too. The African freedmen, which were enslaved also by Cherokee, but there was a different type of enslavement, and I want to distinguish that so that it's not taken in the wrong context. An African American who ran to the reservation was treated as a human being, not as an animal. And also, not only as a human being, he may have started off with trivial duties that were done by the woman. In the Cherokee tribe, the woman represents the essence of the tribe.
Right.
When they go your blood, they go by your mother, your grandmother. They don't go by your father. They go by
matriarchy.
Your
matriarchy. Very good. Yes.
And these were the ones that took in the African Americans. Now, they did the duties of the women, which were chores, and they eventually worked themselves up the line, which you wouldn't have a chance on a plantation to do.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse my language, unless she was a house Negro, which,
mm-hmm.
which did too much. But you had a chance to work your way up the line and become a warrior, a brave, or whatever it was, and you became a part of that tribe, and you were treated
right.
as such. But
right,
never
because
happened.
You're coming to their house. And, you know, even in martial arts, we say, when you come to my house, you need to earn the respect that is
exactly.
going to be given to you. And that's the same way they treat it. And you're correct, because the Native Americans embraced African Americans as people, as human beings, and they intermarried with them and made them part of their families eventually, which is where you're going with your story. Totally different sense of acknowledgement coming from the Native Americans. So you do have a lot of blacks in America who have Native American blood, especially the five civilized tribes that from the eastern woodland area that hit the Trail of Tears, they had to hit the Trail of Tears, which would be the Cherokee, you know, the Choctaw, and the Seminole, and the others. I should name the other one's Cree, and there's one more I can never remember. the five civilized tribes, and you can easily look that up, but they're either eastern woodland Native Americans. And they were always embracing the African American as people that they considered to be part of their own. Many times, the Native Americans were enslaved side by side with the African Americans. So
exactly.
these are some of the issues. Again, brother, I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. You and I both are also of European descent. I have quite a bit of European blood, mainly French and German. And I'm just trying to bring healing to a society, and nobody seems to have an answer. And maybe I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you, just from a basic spiritual reasoning, it's just like my guest last week, Chaplain John Scott, said, you speak your future into existence because the power of what you say is so powerful. You can speak healing into your existence. And that made me think, well, if we can speak healing, let's speak it into our society to be healed. But that first has to come from a place in your heart where you understand maybe why they feel that way. And that's what I hope to, step one, accomplish, is dispelling the truth of what happened to the indigenous people of this country and why their experience is the way it is of anger. Okay, brother, your point is well taken. Now, let's move. Go ahead.
I wanted to make another point, too. When you said speaking into existence, that is so true. When we go to these different places or different events or whatever, and we speak positively. We don't have to speak negatively. However, we do explain our experience so that you don't think it was just a bed of roses. It was not. It was really a life And as a matter of fact, it was a life of horror, as best as I can put it. And if they think the Holocaust with the Jews was something, then the biggest genocide ever in history was among Native Americans. And they can check the facts on that. It outnumbers the Jewish Holocaust. And this is a fact.
And you and I both know, it's all bad. Evil is bad. And atrocities
yes.
committed against any human being is bad. And one or a million or 10 million or 1 billion, it's all bad. And there needs to be a sense of accountability. Okay, let's take for you brought up the Jewish community. So
yes.
Who was the Nazi officer, I'm going to say about a decade ago, was brought up for crimes against humanity. And he was old. He was like 80s, maybe even early 90s, and they put him in prison until his trial. He's crying, he's in a wheelchair, and then people started to feel sorry for him. And it's like, okay, so what are you saying, though? Think about it. Are you saying that just because time has gone by and the guy never got caught and was never held accountable, does that make it okay and we should let him go because now he's old? Does that make that right? I'm not here to be to put trial, judge, and jury on anybody. But think about that. Accountability is so important for somebody else's healing. That's the point that needs to be made with our society in many races and many cultures right here in our own country. Good point, brother. Okay, so here's what happens when I say secrets make you sick and we've got a sick society. This is what's going on with the Native Americans right now. They have twice the suicide rate of any other ethnic group in our country.
Yes, we do.
They have a horrible problem with sex crimes against Native American women. I checked into this because I couldn't really understand how so many women in this day and age could just go missing. I mean, literally vanish off the face of the earth. You can Google this. It's unbelievable how Native women are disappearing. And what I've discovered from the reports coming back from the tribal police is that the majority of these women are having crimes committed against them, not from other Native American people, but from people who aren't tribal, because if they commit a crime against someone who's a tribal member, the tribe cannot hold them accountable because they are not a tribal member. So I don't know if you're following me, but basically any outside ethnic group can commit a crime against another person in a tribe, and the tribe can't go after them. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's become a real problem.
God be with Native American women and protect them, and that's part of what I want to do, is to be able to teach Native American women how to protect themselves. For those who don't know, my brother Dennis and I are both very high-ranked martial artists, and that would be no problem for us to teach that. Brother, drugs and alcohol abuse, off the charts.
Yes.
Poverty off the charts with what these people are going through. There's such a problem and issues in the Native American areas of our country. Okay, so then I get this question. Well, they can always leave the reservation. Okay, so a lot of people did. Obviously, my people did. Obviously, your people did somewhere. So here's what happened. When the government in the 1800s forced them into Indian territory, which became the reservations of Oklahoma and the Dakotas and elsewhere, they said it was illegal for them to leave that area. They could not leave Indian territory. They would be arrested. They had Indian Affairs officers who would arrest them and bring them back. So they were held captive. They were held forced to go into assimilation schools where the government said, you have to go to school and learn how to be basically a white European person. And you have, I mean, you have pictures of this if you study it. And I went all the way to Washington, D.C. to study this. You can see the pictures of moms who have set up teepees out on the plains within a few hundred feet of that school so they could just get a glimpse of their babies, their 4, 5, 6-year-old children who were never allowed to be with them again because they were so heartbroken that the government took them and put them in assimilation schools. The abuse was horrible in these schools. That didn't work. Nothing seemed to be working. They couldn't assimilate them. They kept sticking to tribal life. And you know, you force someone to live this way of life, you can't all of a sudden one day go, okay, off the reservation, you're done, you're on your own. Okay? Kind of did that with the blacks, didn't they? One day, okay, you're done, you're on your own. I mean, it's like, you've raised for 200 years this mindset that you will be in captivity in this area and you will assimilate, and all of a sudden it's just gone, and bye-bye, you're gone. And that had to be pretty scary, brother. It's still scary. It's still scary for someone. 200 years is not a long time to hold someone in captivity or to take their land forcibly for 200 years and then expect, you know, within the next couple of weeks everything will turn around. It's unrealistic. It's going to take time for ethnic communities of this country to heal. It's going to take time. What do you say?
It's going to take time, and it's going to take a lot of effort from people to reach out to each other. And the biggest thing is empathy, I believe. Because if you don't understand what a person's been through, or you can't even conceive or have an idea of what they've been through, then that leaves a person apathetic. And that's the whole problem, that's been the whole problem with the majority of society, when the elite set up rules like doctrines of discovery, which is a Christian doctrine. And mind you, it has nothing to do with my religion, and I am a Christian. It has nothing to do with my religion, and I know I don't agree with that doctrine. But that was not just for, and a lot of people think that was just for America. But you look at Hawaii, and Tahiti, different islands.
Oh yeah,
anyway,
but all over the world, they had this doctrine out to take over the world in the name of the doctrine of discovery. That was the plan. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
And to do something like that, then that means that you're going to do everything under the auspices of conversion. Now, we're supposed to be, the Vatican issued this doctrine. And this doctrine, being a Christian doctrine, if you look at it, and we've made mistakes in our, I can say, evolution of thought as human beings. When we go all the way back to the Spanish Inquisition, how they even did the Europeans out of superstition. So I say ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is just what it is. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
ignorance.
Right. Absolutely. Brother, this is a conversation you and I are having that I've never heard anybody have, ever. And maybe that's because they don't have the League of Nations within themselves that we deal with every day. You know, red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight, so I know God loves me and you.
Yes.
But again, this comes from a place not of anger. This comes from a place of wanting a society to heal and trying to pick a point where we can culminate that healing. And I think if we can understand where the other side is coming from, it'll make a big difference. As I often write in my posts, it doesn't matter, you know, your ethnicity, your background, how much money you make. We all want the same things in life. We want good health. We want to have good relationships. We want to have money coming in. We don't want to suffer. And if we have children, we want them to succeed. Everybody on the planet that's a human being wants that if they're in the right state of mind. And that's a starting point for all of us to realize that we're after the same things. And sometimes when you see the lashing out in society, it comes from people who are wanting the same thing you want, but maybe cannot properly and controllably even express where they're coming from, because communication is so important. And unless you can make somebody see what you're saying, the anger, brother, and the protest is only going to drive the other side away. You have to be able to communicate where someone can understand where you're coming from. Do you agree with me?
I agree. And the understanding has to come from the enlightened.
To get angry, what you just said was
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which was under our United States, quote-unquote, Constitution. But at the same token, the same men that wrote this Constitution owned slaves.
Exactly.
How do you write a doctrine of peace and love and life and liberty, and you have papers saying that I'm worth this much money to you and you own me? Now, regardless how they may have been treated, now I understand, from my understanding, some of them were treated, educated and treated, like, for instance, Frederick Douglass, who talked to Abraham Lincoln and had a big effect on Civil War coming about, and Lincoln signing the Emancipation Proclamation, which has really not happened, even in the 60s, of the killing of Martin Luther King. People, what they fear, what they don't understand. And they, we had a term for them. I think it was a young lady, a singer named Billie Holiday. She sung a song called "Strange Fruit on the Trees," and these were black people and Native Americans. But in fear of saying or speaking out about it, she sung about it, and a lot of our communication is done through music. A lot of people communicate, especially young people, through their music, which is why we need to really get a grasp on what's going on with our generation, because I've seen a lot that I do not like. We've lost several generations because of apathy or the expectation that things will go on as it has been, or it will get better because of a certain event, and it's not.
Good point. Good point. And a lot of, you know, a lot of political correctness today says take out the spirituality aspect. They're, brother, they're taking it out of everything. And what happens is when you do that is all of a sudden you have a whole set of people who can't relate because nobody's allowed to talk about their spirituality. So for you and I, like the beginning of the show, we say that we both are of the Christian faith. I know because you're under a certain authority that you have to forgive me when I offend you.
Exactly.
And
I think the greatest law, if people understand, and so many people go to church and they listen to their pastors, reverends, and there's so many religions or different backgrounds, Baptists, Catholic, Protestant being short for protesting. It still goes on today. But if they live by the one code, love thy neighbor as thyself, a new commandment.
Okay, brother. So there are a lot of ethnic groups out there that I know that believe in Jesus Christ. I did a lot of inner city work. You know, I started an inner city martial arts program, gang member street kids, and they're all ethnic kids. They're all ethnic kids. But if I ask them, because this was a Christian martial arts program and still is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Yes, ma'am. They all say that. Now, they're gonna, a lot of them are going to go protest and be part of the group in the streets or whatever you want to call them. I'm not going to get into names, but they all believe in Jesus Christ. So my point is, you believe in the same principles that I do. We need to sit down as brothers and sisters and talk about this in a reasonable way and not vent our anger in the middle of the street where it's going to continue to push people away. It continues to push people away. So that's my point. Let's be able to sit down even in the name of our faith. And when the schools take out the faith, you know, the government takes out the faith, all of a sudden you lose a whole new point where you can sit down in agreement and talk about your experience and talk about how, well, you believe what I believe. How can I help you? What can I do? What can I do? So you see a lot of Christian groups out there, brother, who do a lot of missionary work for, you know, a lot of the tribes, Pine Ridge, Lakota, even DAR, which I'm a part of, Daughters of the American Revolution. They do a lot of Native American work. Some of them make deliveries to Pine Ridge 2-3 times a year, which is a very depressed Lakota reservation in the Dakotas. And that comes from a Christian place that says, you know what? What can I do to help? Okay, what can I do to help? You talk about an organization like the Salvation Army, which is huge now. It's so huge. It's huge. But and it has huge issues with being huge, okay? But, you know,
too big to fail.
In the beginning, they came from that place. Listen, let's go into the worst parts of the world and ask people, what can we do to help? What do you need? You need food? You need shelter? Why don't you come on into church and let's at least worship together? Let me tell you about my faith, and maybe it'll give you peace in your heart. That's where William Booth, their founder, came from. And there are a lot of great organizations out there trying to make a difference, but because it's politically incorrect, for instance, you know, I did a lot of work with the Salvation Army, and I still do, but, you know, you couldn't go in there at Christmas anymore and say, Merry Christmas, guys, on behalf of the Salvation Army, thank you for collecting your cans of food. Literally, the principal told me, if you dare mention Jesus Christ, we will immediately take security, escort you off the stage. Wow.
Yeah, right into law, where you take faith out of the law. And faith, regardless of what a faith it is, faith within itself is the essence of man. And the essence within you, if you kill that or suppress that essence, then you've actually created a being or a person that is totally apathetic, that has no remorse, and does not care, because now you've taken away his education, his history, and who he is. When you take away a person's identity, they search for their own, and what they find is what is given to them by the media, and the media dictates who they should be, not who they really are. Within us than who is in the world.
Brother, you know I have a media background, 25 years, NBC, Fox News. You know, let me tell you out there, if you don't know this, the media is out to get a rise out of you because that equals ratings. Everything out there, they're going to make it the worst case situation possible because they want the ratings, because they know if all hell is breaking loose and they can promote it, you're going to tune in and watch because people love if it leads, it bleeds. They love it. If it bleeds, it leads. They love that. And they know that. Everything about them is not going to necessarily be truth. It's going to be whatever's going to grab people to get those ratings. And, brother, a very good point that you're making, because what I hear you saying and what resonates with me is healing is spiritual. Healing always comes from a spiritual level. When you heal, it is a spiritual place inside of you, inside of your marriage, inside of your family, inside of your society, your country. Healing
begins with each and every single person.
Yes. And that's why we have to be spiritual people if we want to culminate any kind of healing. So I get upset when, you know, everything to do with the government all of a sudden is about not being spiritual. Well, I love the way you can still use the document of discovery, which was a religious document, in this day and age for your discovery to go against Native American tribes. You know, it's kind of funny. That's not funny, but, you know, one of my friends brought up to me, I love the way the government says you can't have anything spiritual anymore. But yet, you know, when you get an insurance policy, they don't have to cover it if it's an act of God. So what are you saying here? Oh, you do believe in God or you don't? You know, make up your mind. It's when you need to believe in God to further your selfish gain, it seems like you all of a sudden you're spiritual people, right? But that's not
convenient.
What you
mean. It's a convenience then.
Exactly. Well, I've had this message impressed upon me for months, brother. And I see the fallout of sickness, of secrets that were swept under a carpet in our society. And I really want to go, hey, wait a minute. You know, you're just representing your truth, which is fine, but somebody else needs to represent their truth. So I'm going to give one more example. And again, this is an example to maybe stand in my truth where people can understand why people feel the way they do. Our flag, brother, has the blood of all ethnicities on it. That flag, people of all races, Indian, Hispanic, black, it doesn't matter. They've shed their blood on that flag. You can't disrespect a flag that has your ancestors' blood on it. You're disrespecting your ancestors. However, when you talk about a national anthem, when the last line of that anthem says, for the land of the free and the home of the brave, you've got to historically understand that when that national anthem was written in 1814 by Francis Scott Key,
if you've heard the whole anthem, it actually promotes slavery. Do your research on this. I want you to do your research on this. There was a thing about the national anthem and the NFL about them not.
Well, brother, I don't want to take sides because they're going to say because we're ethnic we're taking sides, and I don't want to go there.
No,
but
I'm just saying that.
This is the fact that they do their research
and find out that what the whole national anthem is saying, and listen to the words, and it's promoting slavery at the end of that.
Well,
and
when
most
it says
people don't even know the end
it,
of the national anthem.
It says the land of the free, okay, this is all they need. This is really just grasp this part. The only people free in 1814 were the descendants of European people. Blacks weren't free, Native Americans weren't free. So that's why people have a problem when they are the descendants of a group of people who were mistreated. They've got a problem with that song because it's basically a lie to have
because
to pay homage to a song.
Before. How can you say the land of the free when you've never felt freedom?
It wasn't free. There was no free. Even women weren't free in 1814. I mean, women were property in 1814. So that's why that people have a problem with the song. Again, I will never disrespect this flag. And if I have a problem with it, I'll leave the country because that flag stands for this country. Because my ancestors, including my own dad in the military, my grandparents, and on and on and on, who fought, put their blood on that flag. And I don't want to disrespect them. But I hope that some people can understand that a lot of the history that you've learned is not the truth in experiences of all the other ethnic people who are in this country and have a little bit of a heart. I'm not saying that, you know, you got to agree with me because you probably don't. But I am saying that please just let a little bit of a sliver come in and go, okay, I can acknowledge that. That song does say, the anthem does say that, and there was nobody free in 1814 but the European descendants. Okay, I can acknowledge that. Brother, we're running out of time. Give me something positive to conclude this, because I don't want anybody to think that I am in any way taking a certain side, because we all have been wrong and we all have been right. We're all coming from our own experience, and that is what it is. But give me a very positive thing so that I can go ahead and take us out of here and then promote my next show.
What I mentioned at our last Cherokee Masters of Martial Arts was very, very deep. As a human species, if we do not change our way, we're denying climate change. We're denying poison water. We're denying the poison food. We have higher cases of cancer. Not only are we perpetuating hate, but we're also destroying ourselves. And if we're to survive as a human species, we must change our way, because we're at a precipice now that either we're going to change or the age is going to change, and it's not going to change for the better. And so,
what's the positive point?
United. And to do this, we must communicate, as you said before. We must communicate.
Yeah.
We have to start a dialogue on how we can change things. And I have a saying: you teach one, you reach one. And if everybody keeps that philosophy, teach one, reach one. You might not reach everybody. We're not going to reach everybody. But if I teach one, that one might turn out to be the next president. If I teach one, he might turn out to be the next astronaut. If I reach one, he might be the one that finds a cure for cancer. You never know, because that inspiration, being an inspiration to a child, and every great person that I've spoken to have had inspirational figures in their life, all the way from Muhammad Ali to John F. Kennedy. Everybody has had inspirations. So somebody needs to be the inspiration instead of the followers. And it's time that, now I'm speaking this for myself and the Cherokee Masters of Martial Arts, for our people to stand up and do something for our people, and it'll resonate when other people see us doing this with ourselves. There's that positivity thing. That it's a continuous thing. Good will follow good.
Okay, and Brother, I'm going to take that a step further and say I agree. I agree in what you're saying, but I'm going to add that you need to do it the right way. And instead of going in a rage and pushing people away, you need to come together and sit at a table and discuss things in a positive light and have your message be heard on behalf of your people or your clan or your community, whatever you want to call it, and let's really get some work done. It's almost like you're going to have to, like, detach your emotion when you actually communicate these things, because nobody's going to hear it when you're screaming in their face.
Exactly.
And that's I know we both agree with that. Brother, you know, I love you. I appreciate you, and thank you so much. Hang on a minute. I want to move forward here, and then I'm going to get back with you, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you'll still listen to me after the show. Listen, sometimes I still got to stand in my truth too. And it doesn't matter where you come from, who or what you are. We are all the children of God first. And if we can all culminate together in our spiritual reasoning that we are created in the image of God, and it's God's intention for us to have love, be loved, and show love, I know the world is going to move at a much better pace, in a much better place. And that is my prayer. I do have some books out if you like philosophy. They are, three of them are martial arts based. However, you don't have to be a martial artist to grasp the philosophy, because a lot of it is daily inspiration that I roll into a martial arts lesson. But I have a book out with, it's now out with Penguin Books, formerly Simon & Schuster Macmillan. It's The Complete Idiot's Guide to Taekwondo, and that's such a weird title, and then tell you I'm inspirational. But that was actually a big book, brother. That book is part of a series that they had out there. You've heard of Dummies. So this is the Simon & Schuster line called Complete Idiot Guide. And I did the one on Taekwondo. So that one's still out there. And then through Century Martial Arts, I have two books and two product lines. I am a martial artist, which is sold out, by the way, and is trying to get that reordered in time for the holidays. If you can't, it is available on Amazon.com if you can't get through on Century Martial Arts. And then the other,
you got to read this book. It's awesome. I mean, she gets really
Thank you, brother. The other one is They Call Me Master. It's more philosophy. Very inspirational, very philosophical stuff. I do a lot of inner city work. I have the Blood and Fire Federation, where I teach street kids and former gang members, have for 17 years by the grace of God. I've got enough instructors under me now that they go out and do what I do all over the city. But the program went all over the world because of the efforts of the Salvation Army to promote it. And I have kids, brother, who can't afford uniforms. I mean, you don't understand what poor is unless you've been poor. When you're poor, a couple bucks, that means a lot. And they can't afford things. So I have a T-shirt out called Dojo Disciples, and a lot of people in martial arts will sponsor a child's uniform for $20 or an adult uniform, and I will send them this T-shirt. So if you would like a Dojo Disciple T-shirt to sponsor an inner-city student who can't afford to buy the martial arts uniform, please hit me up. I'm on Facebook at Karen Eden Herdman. Chat me, hit me up. I appreciate it. This is something that I had no idea was going to get this big, and now we're trying to move in the Native American communities as well. And so the place comes from my heart, and if you think I'm in any way making money, you're wrong.
Yes,
I'm losing money.
Wrong. She does everything from her heart, and she speaks the truth.
But that's okay, brother. You're right. I don't worry about anything outside of doing what I feel the spirit realm is moving me to do, because I have had to learn the hard way to stand in my truth as a communicator, as I know you have. And that's it, my brother, Dennis Warren. God bless you. I appreciate you. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you will join us next Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Mountain, where Professor Gary Lee is going to join us. Now, I know a lot of people in the martial arts know who he is because he's been around a long time, and, of course, he does the Living Legends, and him and I could talk karate all day, but we're not going to do that next week. We're going
to and I'd like to give a shout-out to my chief, Chief Darius Two Bears Ross.
Yes.
How was Chief? Your one, Thunder Wolf.
Absolutely.
My name is Thunder Wolf, by the way.
And he is, you know, what a wonderful for chief. I respect him and appreciate that. Getting back to Gary Lee, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear a side of this man you've never heard before. I bet you I can make him cry. He actually almost died in Hawaii and was rescued by supernatural beings, which I believe are angels. We believe are angels. But we're going to talk about his experience and some other supernatural experiences next week, and I hope you will join us as we continue
to... that I'd like to share.
Absolutely. We're out of time now, brother. You're going to have to do it next time.
Yes, I'm sure.
All right. God bless you guys. Thank you, Dennis Warren, and we will see you next week. Take care and bye.
An honor and a pleasure, my sister.
Yes, sir. Okay. I'll talk to you later, sir.
Yes. God bless.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.